And here in this psalm, I'm not going to read the whole thing by way of introduction, but we're going to walk through the whole thing. But just to the first verse, I will extol thee, O my God, O King, I will bless thy name forever and ever. And then look at the last verse. My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord. And let all flesh bless his holy name forever and ever. So my title is from verse 21, my mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord. Let's pray. Lord, I pray you'd use your word in our hearts this morning to teach and to grow us, to draw us closer to you, Lord, to convict if needed, to change us and make us more like Jesus. We thank you for the privilege to assemble in the name of our Savior, open the word of God and trust in its power to change us. And as we now open our hearts to hear from you, Lord, may we push aside the distractions of life and focus on what you have to say to us in these 20 or 25 minutes. Lord, just your will be done in every life. Meet with us now, and may you be glorified. We ask this in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. What we find in this psalm and what we find in a lot of the psalms is, first of all, what God wants from us as far as praising him, lifting him up, and coming to him, but also the ways in which we should praise him, or the attributes that we should praise God for. And both of those are found in this passage in a beautiful way. So I'm going to try to point those out as we go. If you're taking notes, it'll be maybe a little bit complicated, but it's okay. What matters is that we grow. And notice verse 1, that he starts off by saying, I will extol thee, my God, my King, and I will bless thy name forever and ever. That word extol means to lift up or to exalt. And that is what really the Psalms is all about. In general, it's just exalting the Lord, lifting him up, praising the Lord. If you ever are down, read the Psalms. If you're ever not where you should be in your spiritual walk, just open the Psalms and start reading. And let God encourage your heart that he is worthy of praise and that we should be praising him all the time. And that word blessing means to praise or to give thanksgiving. And that is what we should be doing, is blessing God, praising God every day, all day, for who he is. You know, the Bible says in Psalm 119, 165, 7 times a day do I praise thee because of thy righteous judgments. So at least 7 we should praise God. And we should always be looking for those opportunities to praise God because he's worthy of praise. And so he starts off by telling us that we should bless his name. Now, God's name, God has some beautiful names. And if we had to pick the primary name of God, of course, it would be Jehovah from the Old Testament. But God has many beautiful names, Elohim, Adonai. We get to the New Testament, of course, Jesus Christ has hundreds of names. But that in itself gives us opportunity to praise the God. Praise the Lord is for who he is, for his names. Because his names reflect his character, his names reflect his love, the name Savior, and we could go on and on praising God for who he is, for his names. And this is something that we, you know, we could make a project if we had to. Go to Psalm 113 and you'll see that this is something that God wants us to do. God's revealed his names not only to reveal himself to us, but also to give us yet another way to praise him. Notice Psalm 113 verse 1. Praise ye the Lord. Praise, O ye servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Verse 2. Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. Notice it says to praise the name. Praise the name of the Lord. Maybe do a study on the names of God. You'll find that to be very beneficial to your spiritual walk. But to be praising God for who he is. And that is where this psalm begins. Now go back to our passage, Psalm 2. God tells us when we should praise him. Those first two words kind of say it all, don't they? Every day. Every day. You know, we talk a lot about how important it is that we pray every day, that we read our Bible every day, but shouldn't we praise God every day? We need to make it a habit to praise God. He says, every day will I bless thee, and I will praise thy name forever and ever. There shouldn't go a day by. It doesn't matter how deep the trial is, or how much pain we're in, there should never a day go by that we don't praise God because he's worthy of our praise. And if you're a born-again Christian, you're going to heaven, and that's not going to change. And you may have some pain and some trials, in some circumstances that you didn't expect, and it may not even be enjoyable from an earthly perspective, but that doesn't change who God is. And it doesn't change how much He loves us and how good He is to us at all times. He's always worthy of our praise. So every day. So firstly, we see that we're to bless Him and to praise Him every day. Firstly, for His name. But secondly, verse 3, the Bible says, "Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and His greatness is unsearchable." So we need to not only be praising God for who He is, but for His greatness. The God of the Bible is the God of the universe. And the God of the universe is great. He's great. His greatness, notice the Bible says here, it's unsearchable. I love that. That even if we tried to completely understand God's greatness, we couldn't do it. Because it's literally unsearchable. Now, we'll get to bask in that greatness and experience it when we're in His presence. But in our earthly form, we can't do it. We just cannot comprehend how great our God is. He is greater than we could express and greater than we can search out, greater than we can even understand. If you look down in Psalm 147, just two over, and look at verse 5. The Bible says, "Great is our Lord and of great power. His understanding is infinite." What a word. God's understanding is infinite. God's greatness is unsearchable. So we can be praising God every day for who He is, and we can be praising Him for His greatness. But then go to verse 4 of our passage, Psalm 145. "One generation shall praise Thy works to another, and they shall declare Thy mighty acts." So here this is talking about what God does, His works, His ways, His acts. And we need to be praising God not only for who He is, His name and His greatness, but also what He does and what He's done. Notice it says His works, and they shall declare Thy mighty acts. One of our jobs is to declare God's greatness to others, to the world. Whenever we go out and share the gospel with the lost, we're telling the lost that our God is great. That our God is so great that He loves His creation so much He was willing to become a man and die in our place and rise again for us. You couldn't have a more beautiful love story than that. That is our God. And we need to be telling the world that this God is the God that has worked miracles for thousands of years on behalf of mankind. We didn't deserve them. And that He still works miracles. And so praising God for His works. Go to Psalm 105, if you would. I'll try to stay in Psalms as much as I can, just for the sake of time. But notice Psalm 105, verse 2. The Bible says, "Sing unto Him, sing psalms unto Him, talk ye of all His wondrous works." Talk ye of His wondrous works, of all the wonderful things that He's done. God wrote a lot of them down for us in the Old Testament, New Testament, His wondrous works, so that we could talk about them. We could tell others about what a great God we serve and all the great things He does. Now look at Psalm 107 and verse 21. Psalm 107 and verse 21. The Bible says, "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men." Oh, that we would praise God for His goodness, which we'll talk about, and for His wonderful works. And so just in four verses, we found that God wants us to bless and praise His name for who He is, for His greatness, and for what He's done and what He's doing, His works and His acts. Moving on, verse 5 of our passage, Psalm 145, it says, "I will speak of the glorious honor of Thy majesty." What a word that is. Thy majesty. Look at Psalm 104 now, if you would, in verse 1. Majesty is one of those words that is difficult to define because it's its own concept, isn't it? How do you define majesty? Because only God's worthy of majesty. It is talking about greatness, but it's bigger than that. It's talking about honor and power, but it's even bigger than that. It's just one of those words that you just It just is what it is. And God wants us to praise Him for His majesty. Notice Psalm 104, verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, O Lord my God. Thou art very great. Thou art clothed with honor and majesty. God's clothed with majesty. And again, we can't experience or understand that until we get to heaven. One day we will. And you know, the first thing that we'll do is fall on our faces. When you look in Revelation chapters 4 and 5. When we're going to be in the presence of God's majesty, we'll have no choice but to just fall. Because of His majesty. Verse 7 of our passage. They shall abundantly utter the memory of Thy great goodness. God wants us to praise Him for His name, for His greatness, for His works and actions, for His majesty, but also for His goodness. Now this is important, because the world doesn't understand that God is good all the time. They look around, they see the sin, they see war, they see murder, they see all these horrible things, and they think, how can God be good? But God is good. God's always good. Man isn't good. Man's a sinner. And man has messed things up. But that doesn't change the goodness of God. And we need to be praising God for His goodness. Look down at verse 9, where he mentions who God is good to. The Lord is good to who? All. Now the world questions this. Sometimes Christians question it. But the Bible tells us that God is good. That His goodness is great. That He's good to all. As a matter of fact, if you go to Psalm 33, verse 5, the Bible tells us His goodness is everywhere. And again, when we look at sin and the problems of the world, we could often get distracted by those things that are run by the god of this world, little g. But notice Psalm 33, 5. He loveth righteousness and judgment. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. We can always find the goodness of God, because the earth is full of it. And the Bible says He's good to all. And how many times do we quote Romans 8:28? We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. So we're to praise God for His name, for His greatness, for His works, for His majesty, for His goodness. But also verse 7, it says, and they shall sing of Thy righteousness. Now righteousness and goodness are two different things. Goodness is what God does. Righteousness is who God is. But it is because of the righteousness of God that we need salvation. And it is through what Jesus did that we can now gain that righteousness, so that we can be in the presence of God's righteousness. But everything that God does is right. Now this is, again, it goes kind of with goodness, but not completely. But notice down in verse 17. It says there that the Lord is righteous in all His ways. So everything that God does is good and right. And God is righteous. The Bible says the heavens declare the righteousness of God. In Psalm 50. And every person on this earth is unrighteous. And can only get to heaven through the righteousness of God. That's why the Bible tells us, 2 Corinthians 5:21, God hath made Him, Jesus, to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Righteousness and salvation go together. You must have the righteousness of Jesus Christ to ever go to heaven. It's not about our works. It's not about who we are. It's about who He is and what He did. And God is willing to make us righteous through Jesus. But He's righteous, and He always does right. So we need to be praising God for His name, His greatness, His works, His majesty, His goodness, His righteousness. Verse 8, the Lord is gracious. Where would we be without the grace of God? For by grace are you saved through faith. James 4:6, He giveth more grace. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, Hebrews 4:16, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. God is a gracious God. Go to Psalm 111, verse 4. What we find in this passage is we need at least seven times a day to praise God because there's so many things we should be praising God for. Psalm 111, verse 4, He hath made His wonderful works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. And the longer you're saved, the more you appreciate the grace of God. Without the grace of God, we just couldn't function. His name, His greatness, His works, His majesty, His goodness, His righteousness, His grace, and verse 8, His compassion. The Bible says He is full of compassion. It was compassion that led God to send Jesus. It was compassion that Jesus had when He looked at the multitudes. It says He says that they were like sheep with no shepherd. It says He had compassion on them. The disciples didn't have that compassion, but Jesus, when He saw the people scattered around with no help, no hope, what did He have but compassion? And it was that compassion that drove Him to Calvary. That is the compassion of our Creator. And God is full of it, the Bible says. Psalm 111, verse 4, which we just looked at, it says He's full of compassion. And yes, it was His love, but it was also His compassion that drove God to Calvary. His compassion for us. The Bible tells us in Lamentations 3, His compassions fail not. We sing that in the Great is Thy Faithfulness hymn. His compassions fail not. So it's quite a list already, and we're only up to verse 8. Slow to anger and of great mercy. Not only would we be in trouble without the grace of God, but where would we be without the mercy of God? Because you and I aren't merciful like we should be. And let's face it, if we were God and people treated us like we treat God, we would have run out of mercy a long time ago, wouldn't we? The lightning bolts would be flying. But that's not God. God's merciful. The Bible says in Psalm 119:64, the earth is full of Thy mercy. The Bible tells us that we should hope in His mercy. It is through God's mercy. It says in Titus 3:5, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us. Our God is a merciful God. So those are just some of God's attributes that David is reminding us we need to praise God for: His name, His greatness, His works, His majesty, goodness, righteousness, grace, compassion, and mercy. But then he goes on to talk about His kingdom. Notice verse 9, the Lord is good to all, His tender mercies are over all His works. All Thy works shall praise Thee, O Lord, and Thy saints shall bless Thee. They shall speak of the glory of Thy kingdom. The word kingdom shows up hundreds of times in the Scriptures. The book is about a kingdom from start to finish. And that kingdom has changed kings along the way. But one day, there will be a kingdom on this earth. And we will be part of it. And that is the kingdom that Israel's been looking forward to and still hoping for. And that is the kingdom that you and I one day will become part of. If you go to Revelation 11, the Bible mentions when this happens. Revelation chapter 11, verse 15. When this promised kingdom becomes a reality on earth. Notice Revelation 11:15. The Bible says, and the seventh angel sounded, there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ, and He shall reign forever and ever. So we should be praising God for His coming kingdom. And didn't Jesus say when He told us, when He gave us the model prayer, thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever, amen. It's okay to anticipate the return of Jesus Christ and His coming kingdom. It's okay to look forward to those things. It's okay to live for those things. Jesus says, lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth, but lay yourselves up treasures in heaven. So we are to be praising God for and looking forward to His kingdom. And then verse 11, and they will talk of Thy power. Now we talked about God's greatness. How much power does God have? Well, I think that's another thing that we just can't comprehend. But go to Matthew 19. Jesus explained it this way. He uses the word all to kind of help us. But notice Matthew 19, verse 26. Jesus beheld them and said unto them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. That is the God that we serve, the God of the impossible, the God of infinite power. In the Revelation 19, the Bible refers to Him as the Lord God omnipotent. In Revelation 19, 6, that means all-powerful. There's no limit to God's power. He made the universe out of nothing. And we should be praising God for His power. So His name, His greatness, His works, His majesty, His goodness, righteousness, grace, compassion, mercy, kingdom, and power. And then verse 18, He kind of changes direction. The Lord is nigh to all that call upon Him, to all that call upon Him in truth. He will fulfill the desires of them that fear Him. He also will hear their cry and will save them. The Lord preserveth all them that love Him, but all the wicked will He destroy. Notice in verses 18, 19, and 20, the Bible encourages us to call on Him, to fear Him, and to love Him. That's who this psalm is written to. Those who will call upon the Lord, and if you're saved, there was a day when you called upon the Lord. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And we're to call upon God every day. Those who fear God, right? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. We're to be walking in the fear of the Lord. And those who love God. And of course, love is not a feeling. Love is what we do. The Bible says that the love of God, this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. And His commandments are not grievous. So God is writing to those of us that call upon Him, those of us that walk in His fear and reverence, and those of us that love Him. And what does He want? Ultimately, verse 21, our title. That was just the introduction. No, I'm kidding. My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord. Our mouths speak a lot of things. A lot of things they shouldn't. But we need to get in the habit of this being a reality in our lives. Amen? My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord. As again, David says, 7 times a day do I praise Thee because of Thy righteous judgments. And this is just a limited list that we've seen today of things that we can praise God for every day. And the list would be longer. Just, again, read all 150 Psalms and you'll probably be there. But that's okay too. Just keep at it. But my mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord. Our lives should be lives of lifting Him up because of all He's done for us and for who He is. We have nothing but gratitude and praise for what He's done. Through Calvary, what He does for us every day in giving us His presence and the Holy Spirit. He gave us His Word. Jesus said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. He said, I will come again and receive you unto myself. Heaven is already our home. The Bible says in Ephesians 2 that we're seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord every day. Let's pray.